Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Word of Life Church, all of you who are here and all of you who are connected by phone or internet. The Spirit connects us all, so there's no distance if you're tuning in from your home. So we're all here today we're going to be celebrating Mother's Day today. You know, God has mothers highlighted in Scripture. And so we're going to be looking at some of that today. So open up with prayer. Open up with me in prayer. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come and take a look at your word, your words of life. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity. We thank you, Father, that we can come together, that we're not closed. We're not kept out of this sanctuary, but we can come together as a family, Lord, and be equipped and be edified through your word. So, Father, I thank you for connecting each one of us, even those that are at home connecting right now by phone or internet, Lord, and all of us that are here, Father God. This is your family. This is your church. So, Father, we just thank you and we exalt you today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So welcome, everybody. We're glad to see you here. Today is Mother's Day. It's a day to celebrate those women that gave us life. You know, a lot of Mother's Day messages, the pastors will say, well, okay, this is not about you guys today. It's all about the women. But you know what? Every one of us has a mother, or you wouldn't be here. Every one of us has got a mother. You know, some of us have mothers that have gone on to glory. Some of us have mothers that are still here, but they're to be honored. They're to be honored. Mothers are to be honored. Today is set aside to honor them, whether they're alive or whether they're not. God wants us to honor our mothers. So, God gives motherhood a very high status. Very high status. And so we're going to be looking at that in a moment. But I've asked Pastor Ralph if he was able, I always give him these questions. Ralph, are you able to bring up this short video for Mother's Day? And I don't even know if he looks at it, but he always says yes. So anyway, we've got a special video, I do believe, coming up. It's entitled, What Will You Say? All right, we're going to watch this for just a few minutes. Thank you, Ralph.
When I move out one day, my mom will be very sad.
I feel my mom's love in my heart, like, it's right here. I'm feeling it right now.
Sometimes I love, sometimes I don't. But when I'm angry, I don't.
My mom is everything to me. She just is this ray of energy and sunlight and positivity.
The thing that I wish I could have done more of is thanking her.
Didn't matter what shape I was in, I could always come home to mom. My mom was basically the glue that held me together.
When I left the Philippines, I knew that my son will be in good hands because I know my mom will take care of him.
My mom is behind the smart, you know, dad's mouth.
If I would say like 1 to 10, it would be a 5.
Maybe my poor dad got the raw end of the deal, but I do remember my mother saying to him when there was an argument about something I'd done, she says, you don't want to hurt her spirit. I remember that.
My mom was diagnosed with a really rare disease about 12 hours before she died. So we didn't get a lot of time to talk or to say goodbye, but she did get to say that she loved me, which were her last words. And I cherish that because I've been able to hang on to it.
I'm probably going to say to my mom, you're a wonderful person. And you're my mentor.
I tie an invisible string to my heart and she ties the same one to her heart and it's always attached together.
My mother, she struggled a lot with addiction. Sorry, I'm getting upset. Yeah, it was hard.
You know, you have partners, you have friends, you have kids, but there is nobody else who will ever care about you as much.
My son now,
always tells me, I love you, Mama. But for 48 years, I realized I didn't say I love you to my mom.
I can think of three words. I forgive you.
You were good, Mom. You did really good.
Thank you, Mom. I love you, Mom.
Hey, Chelsea, if moms got paid, how much do you think they should get paid in a year for being a mom?
Maybe $100?
Isn't she cute? What will you say about your mother? What would you say about her? I remember a story that there was this, it was an elementary school teacher, and she was teaching her class. It was a science class. I think I may have shared this story once before. She was teaching her children in the classroom about magnets, and it was exciting for the kids to learn what would be attracted to those magnets, and the kids loved playing with them. And at the end of the semester time, the teacher had to test the children to see, you know, what had they learned? Did they learn anything during this time? And this was one of the questions that she had on the test. It was this: what has six letters, starts with the letter M, and picks things up? What am I? And instead of the kids writing magnet, they wrote mother. Over half of the class wrote mother. How many of you mothers can relate to that? Picking up a lot of stuff. If you're a mother, I know you can relate. You can relate to that teacher. Anyway, I read another story about a man. This is cute. About a man who came. He came home after work one day, only to find his house a total mess. He said that the three children were still in their pajamas. He's coming home late in the evening. They had empty food wrappers strewn all over the house and all over the yard. The front door of the house was opened. He said his wife's car door was opened. Inside the house, one of the table lamps was knocked over on the floor. And he said that the television was on. It was on a cartoon channel and blaring very loudly. He said there was clothing strewn all over the place. There were dishes piled in the sink in the kitchen. There was dried cereal spilled all over the counter. There was dog food spilled all over the floor. He said there was a broken glass laying under the kitchen table. He saw a sand pile just inside the back door, which should have been outside. And he was wondering, where's my wife? Where is she? So he starts looking for his wife, and he heads upstairs. On his way up, he's tripping over more clothes and more toys. And now he's getting worried. Did something happen to her? You know, where is she? And so did she get ill? And so he finds her in the bedroom, and she's just lounging in the bed, and you know, she's still in her pajamas, and she was reading a novel. And when his wife saw him, she smiled at him and sweetly said, "How was your day, sir? How was your day?" And so the husband, he was stunned. He was actually bewildered. You know, he said, "What on earth happened here today?" And so she smiled at him and she said, "You know, every day you come home and you ask me, what did you do all day?" So she said, "I decided to take the day off." Oh. Now, normally when he comes home from work, the house is immaculate. Everything's put in its place. Everything's picked up. But he has a hard time figuring out what she does all day long. It's easy staying home with three kids, you know. But anyway, well, that was the day that she allowed him to see all that she does in a day. And so, you know, moms are pretty important. Would you agree with me? They're given the huge responsibility, you know, to nurture, to take care of the children, to teach them. Mothers do a lot of picking up after their children. And we have to teach our children how to pick up after themselves, right? And so mothers, they help provide for their children. They love their children unconditionally. A mother's love is unconditional. Many mothers give selflessly to the raising of their children. They pour themselves in to their kids. They pour themselves into them. Mothers have a profound influence on their children. A mother's influence, actually, it influences the child's character and ultimately our nation. And so someone once said that mothers are the real world changers. Amen. They're the real world changers. You know, that little girl, that last little girl in that video, she was so cute. She thought about it. You know, her mom should be paid $100, you know, to a little one's mind who's inexperienced with the real value of money. She thought that $100 is a lot of money. We know $100 doesn't go very far today. But she was like, could we give her $100? Well, I want to look at what God says about mothers, okay? Are you able to bring up Proverbs 31? Thank you. Thank you, Joanne. Joanne is, she's learning by jumping in there, just trial and error, just jumping in there. Thank you, Joanne. We appreciate you. Proverbs 31, and I'm going to look at verses 10 and 28. And it says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Her children arise up and call her blessed. You know, rubies are presented throughout the Bible as a very precious gemstone. My Bible dictionary says that the ruby is a variety of corundum, which is the hardest of all metal of all minerals, next only to the diamond. And so the Bible says that a virtuous woman or mother, a virtuous a mother, one who is wise, one who is strong, one who is diligent, one full of integrity, she is valued far more than rubies. She is valued far more than anything can be desired. They said her children rise up and call her blessed. You know, moms have impacted the foundation of our nation, our freedom and our success here as a nation. It was George Washington who said this about his mother. Can you bring that up, Joanne? Yeah, should be. Okay, thank you. This is what George Washington said about his mom. My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. Mothers, we have a profound influence upon our children. And that in turn, it affects our society. Another one, Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln's mother passed on a heritage of faith that influenced not only his life, his destiny, but ultimately our nation. She encouraged him to read the Bible and to learn all that he could. She once said this, she said, I would rather that my son would be able to read the Bible than to own land if he cannot have but one. So what she was saying was if he could only have one or the other, land, which was, you know, back at that very, very valuable, or a Bible, she'd rather he had the Bible. And so Abe Lincoln did read that Bible very often, and he used the Bible as a foundation for his speeches. He actually said this one time. He called the Bible the best gift that God had ever given man. And Abe Lincoln turned to faith during most of the difficult times in his life. He called for national repentance. He called for fasting. He called for prayer. So we know he was a man of faith. He was the president that led our nation to end slavery. He had a huge impact on our nation. And this is what he said about his mother. If you could bring this up. It says, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. Abraham Lincoln had a praying mother. She had faith in God, and she instilled that faith into her son. It impacted his life, and it also impacted our nation. Mothers have a lot of power in their family. I do believe that moms are real world changers behind the scenes. Those are the comments that George Washington and Abe Lincoln made about their mothers. You know, what will you say about yours? In a few moments, I'd like to give you an opportunity to honor your mother or whoever is important in your life, whoever impacted your life, whatever woman, whether it's biological mother or adopted mother or spiritual mother, will give you an opportunity to share from your heart. What will you say about that that person? But before I do that, I want to take a look and see what God says about mothers. You know, one of the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses was on the stone tablets. One of those commandments was Exodus 20, verse 12. It says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. He says, honor, give honor to your father and your mother. Those weren't suggestions. That's a commandment. God seems to think that mothers are pretty important. That Hebrew word for honor is the word kabad. Kabad, it means to glorify. It means to make weighty. It means to honor highly. So we're to honor, show respect, we're to glorify, we're to reverence our fathers and our mothers. And Paul basically says the same thing in the New Testament in Ephesians 6 and verses 1 to 3. It says, Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And what's the promise? It's that it may be well with you and you may live long on this earth. So God has an order in the family. He's ordained the family. He created it: father, mother, children. In our society today, there are different family makeups because of divorce, remarriage. There are blended families, but God's commandments still stand. We're to honor our fathers and mothers. So today, we're honoring all mothers: biological mothers, adopted mothers, spiritual mothers, women who have impacted other people's lives. And so I want to just remind you where Mother's Day started. It has its origins from something that a woman did to honor her mother. That is back in 1908. Anna Jarvis, at her mother's memorial service, this was on May 10th of 1908, at that service, she wanted to honor her mother. And so what she did was she handed out carnations to everyone that came to that memorial service. Her mother's flower, the favorite flower of her mother, was the carnation. And so we have several containers of mini carnations for each of the ladies to take home with them today. little mini carnations. That was her mother's favorite flower. And then on May 9th, 1914, this was 6 years later, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as a day to show, quote, public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. Mothers, you play a very important role in the lives of your children. It doesn't matter if they're infants, if they're teens, you know, or if they're over 50. Once a mother, always a mother. We honor our mothers. They're given a huge responsibility. And, you know, God obviously thinks mothers are pretty important. He includes a number of mothers all throughout Scripture. Mothers are highlighted in God's Word. And I don't think they're there by accident. I believe we can glean from these mothers. You know, last Mother's Day, we were shut in. And so I gave a Mother's Day message from our home remotely. But today, and during that message, I focused a lot on Mary, on the mother of Jesus. I focused on her. But today I'd like to see what God has to say about some of the other mothers in Scripture. And so there are many, but we're only going to look at a few today. Okay, our time is running short. The first mother that I want to look at, of course, would be Eve. This was the first woman that God created. Adam called her Eve. Her name in Hebrew, could you bring that up? Her name in Hebrew means, life giver. And that would be Genesis 3:20. Genesis 3:20. We don't have Genesis 3:20? Okay, I'll just read it. All right. So the Hebrew name means life giver. Genesis 3:20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Mothers give life. You know, God gave women the capacity to conceive, to carry, and to give birth, to give life. It's a special privilege to be able to carry your child. You women all know what I'm talking about. You mothers that have carried your children, you know what I'm talking about. You know, your body gets out of whack. You expand in all kinds of areas. Your emotions and your hormones are all fluey, but it's all for the purpose of preserving that life that is within you. And so one of God's obvious purposes for mothers is to bring forth life. To bring forth life. And God created that, revealed that by creating Eve for Adam. And in doing so, he set a precedent for the family, for marriage and for reproduction. God's plan was for life. It was for life. And to think that we have a society where we live in today, where our government says it's okay to murder that life. With that in mind, I'd like to emphasize another mother that God highlights in Scripture. This is a mother who defied the law of the land when the government was trying to kill the babies. You may remember the story. The Israelites were in Egypt, if you remember that story, and Joseph and Jacob had relocated them there to Egypt during that famine. While they were there, The Hebrews, they multiplied quickly, very, very fast. And so that kind of scared the Pharaoh a little bit. He was afraid because these Hebrews were multiplying. And he was afraid that the Hebrew men would side with their enemies and fight against them. That's why the Pharaoh was upset. And so the Pharaoh gave the order to kill all the Hebrew boys. The girls could live, but the boys would have to die. So he told the Hebrew midwives that whenever a Hebrew woman gives birth to a baby, if it's a boy, kill him. If it's a girl, let her live. And so, this was because the boys did the fighting. And so Exodus 1:17 says this, but the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they saved the male children alive. the king got very upset because the midwives didn't follow his orders. But they told him that the Hebrew women, they have those babies quick before we even get there. They just pump out those babies fast. And so the midwives were honoring God over Pharaoh. And so scripture says that God provided for those midwives. But the Pharaoh commanded the people to throw every newborn son into the river, and the baby girls could live. I want to read what happens next. If you could go to your Bibles, Exodus 2. I want to read Exodus 2. If you need Bibles, we have them on the back table. I want to go to Exodus 2, and I'm going to start reading at verse 1. We'll see what happened next. Exodus 2, starting with verse 1. I'm going to read verse 1 through 10. Exodus 2, starting at verse 1. Okay. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it up, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." So this is a story about Moses and how he was saved. Moses' mother had placed him in the ark of bulrushes to protect him from that Pharaoh's murderous plan. And so Pharaoh's daughter discovers the baby. She has compassion on Moses, and she wants to keep him. And she hires Moses' mother to nurse and to take care of him, and pays her to do it. And so in Numbers 26:59, we learn the name of that mother. Numbers 26:59. Numbers 26:59. Okay. All right. Numbers 26:59 says the name of Amram's wife was Jacobed, the daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt and to Amram. She bore Aaron and Moses and their sister Miriam. So Jacobed's boldness, her brave actions, they're listed in scripture because she saved the very one who would be the deliverer for Israel. You know, and we don't have any indication in scripture that Jochebed knew that Moses was going to be the deliverer of Israel. There's nothing to indicate that. But her name, this is what her name means. Jehovah is honor. Jehovah is honor. Jochebed means Jehovah is honor. She honored God, and she honored the life that God had placed inside of her. She protected that life. And so Jochebed is noted among the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. God chose Moses before he was ever born to be their deliverer. How disastrous would that have been if Jochebed hadn't protected her son? Every child is important. Every child. God has a plan for each and every one of us. Every single one. We're all important. Every child. Every child. I believe that there is an innate protection in every mother to protect their child. We see it in nature. You know, just try to get close to a lioness and her cubs. That lioness will protect those cubs. I don't know if you've ever walked along. Gary and I do a lot of walking. We walk along streams and rivers when the male and female ducks have their little ducklings coming along, you can't get close to them. They'll hiss at you. They will hiss at you. They're protecting their young, and so I believe that, you know, they don't want you to mess with their babies. You know, if there is anyone here, or within the sound of my voice, that has listened to the lie that we can kill our babies, I have got good news for you. I got good news. I want to encourage you with these words that Jesus spoke. If they're in your Bible, they're in red letters. This is Jesus speaking, Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Matthew 11, 28 and 29 says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and I'm lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus gives you rest through his amazing love and his forgiveness. There's no need to carry that burden at all. You know, God said, he said, I will remember your sins no more. No more. And so I recently learned of a grandmother who was very high on marijuana. And she accidentally drove over her grandchild. I believe that God has mercy on all those who call out to him, all those who come to him. Another mother found in Scripture is Sarah. Sarah was the mother of Isaac. You all know the story how God blessed Sarah and Abraham with a son. In their very old age, they were both well past the age of bearing children, but God supernaturally honored the covenant that he made with Abraham, and so Isaac was that manifested promise, and so Abraham is written in the Hebrews Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11, but Sarah is listed there also. Let's see what God says about Sarah. Hebrews 11:11, it says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive. Notice that Sarah had to have faith to conceive herself. And she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Notice that Sarah didn't have faith. She didn't have faith in herself. She didn't have faith in Abraham. She didn't have faith in their. She did not have faith in her 89 or 90 year old body. Her faith was in God's faithfulness to his word. Her faith was in God. That's why she was in that Hebrews Hall of Faith. You know, if you can find a promise in God's word, there's over 3,000 of them. If you can find a promise dealing with your situation, and there's no situation that doesn't have a promise. If you can find a promise, you hang on to that promise. You hang on to that promise. There's a promise there for whatever you need. God is faithful to his word. there's a number of mothers we can discuss here. I'm going to look at Hannah. Hannah's the woman mentioned in Scripture. She was the wife of a Levite named Elkanah. He was of the Levites, the priestly branch of the Israelites. She was barren, and she just fervently, if you've read the story, she fervently prayed for a son. And she said, "If God, if you give me a son, I'll give him to your service." And so the Lord answered her prayers, and the prophet Samuel was born. And Hannah stayed true to her word. When after Samuel was weaned, she took him to the temple and to remain there forever. She was faithful to her word. This is what Hannah said. 1 Samuel 1:27-28. Hannah says this to Eli the priest. She says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord." Lent there means to give unconditionally. "I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. God blessed Hannah because of her faithfulness. And he gave her three more sons and two daughters. So she was honored for her faithfulness. Let's look at another mother in Scripture. This woman is revealed as the harlot in Jericho, Rahab. Rahab, you remember Rahab? She hid the two spies that Joshua had sent into Jericho. She helped hide them. She helped them to escape, and then the Israelites, conquered Jericho. Rahab became the mother of Boaz, who married Ruth, and became the father of Obed, the grandfather of Jesse, and the great-grandfather of King David. So Rahab became part of the lineage of King David, through whom the Messiah would come, because of, he was faithful to his word. I love the story of Rahab because it reveals the mercy, the grace that God gives to anyone, regardless of their sin. Regardless of it. This is what God records. He records Rahab in the Hall of Faith also. Hebrews 11:31 says, "By faith," by what? "By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace." So it was her faith. It was her obedience. She trusted God. It was that got her placed in Scripture and actually into Jesus' lineage. We have so many mothers we could look at. The Bible is rich, and these mothers are not in here by accident. They're there for us. There's another godly mother that I want to mention here in Scripture, and that is Elizabeth. Do we all know who Elizabeth was? Mother of who? John the Baptist, absolutely. She was of the priestly line of Aaron, and she was the wife of Zacharias, the priest. And even though the Scripture said that they were both righteous, they had no children. They had no children. Elizabeth was barren. But God performs a miracle in Elizabeth, and she conceives, and that child was to be the forerunner for the Messiah. And an angel appears, that Gabriel appears and tells Zacharias that the baby is going to be named John, and that he would be great. Luke 1, verses 15 to 17, that he would be great and he would be filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And in verse 17, "And he will also go before him," this is going before Jesus, "in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And then Elizabeth is visited by her cousin Mary, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist at the time, and here comes another godly mother, Mary, the one who Angel Gabriel said that she had found favor. So Elizabeth was a godly woman. She was a godly woman, great character, and she was the mother of John the Baptist. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, the angel Gabriel came on that scene as well. He appeared to Mary, and he told her that she was blessed. She was blessed among women, Luke 1:28. And having come in, the angel Gabriel said to her, Mary, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Just the mere fact that God chose Mary and found her in favor, I believe that allowed her to give birth to Jesus. It had to be because of her faith, because of her character. All right, and you know, even though Mary was a young woman, probably around 15 or 16 years old, she wasn't yet married, and she was found with child. She wasn't married yet. You might say she was engaged, but she wasn't married yet. But she agreed to God's plan, going through all that she would have to face because of that. This is what she says in Luke 1:38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So Mary said yes to that plan. She said yes. That's boldness. That's faith. She's found in Scripture. She trusted God, and she and God took care of all the rest. You know, you may have a mother or have had a mother that you know, she may or may not have had a strong character, a strong faith in God. She may not be highlighted in the pages of Scripture. Your mother may or may not be famous in the world, you know. You may have a mother who has done everything perfectly. You may have a mother who hasn't done everything perfectly. You may have had a mother who exemplified, you know, godly wisdom and character, or you may not have. But I know this, in every case, God already had a plan for you to be birthed through the mother that you came through. And his word says that we're to honor her, whoever she may be. And so I'd like to give you an opportunity. What would you say about your mother? How will you honor your mother today? For anyone who would like to share, Gary, you got a microphone? Can you just pass that around? If you would like to share something and give honor to your mother, whether she's here on this earth or already in glory, I'd like you to speak forth. What would you say about your mother? You know, when I was born, my mother, I was only 3 years old, and my mother passed away. So I didn't get to know my biological mother, but I praise her. My mother was found with me before she was married, and she did not abort. I thank God for life. All right, who would like to give honor?
Seth would like to go first, but I would just like to say, in fairness to Solomon, because last time, you know, they were fighting to go first, but now Solomon's in Rhode Island. But I just wanted to just let you know, Solomon is probably fighting to get here too. Okay.
Awesome. My mom, she does everything. She works really, really hard. These are things I'm grateful for. She works very hard, you know.
We could testify to that too.
She's like always everywhere, you know, and providing for us, my family, and, you know, like taking care of the house and everything like that.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things I'm extremely thankful for, though, in regards to my mom, is how much she truly loves me. Like, I don't know of a better example of like agape love in my life that I see daily, you know.
Yeah.
That's my mom, you know. I can talk to her, and that's what I really love. I could talk to her about pretty much anything, and she will still love me, you know. So I don't feel, I can't talk to her about things that I'm going through or whatever. In fact, I actually enjoy to do that because she'll listen, you know. And then she stays open minded, and then she'll give her input, and then I'll be like, you're right. And then, but she's always there, and that really means a lot to me, just to have somebody there, because I know not a lot of people do, but I know it's because she loves me, and I'm really fortunate, and I'm so grateful to have that example in my life.
Awesome. Thank you, Seth. Thank you for sharing. Would anyone else like to honor their mother?
Today, I want to honor my mother, who no longer is with me. I love my mother because of her patience with me, and she would sacrifice everything she had. It didn't matter what it was. I mean, if it was her last coin in her pocket or a couple cents left over, the ice cream man would come down. She'd say, "Here, go get some ice cream. Enjoy." She worked way into the middle of the night, preserving fruits and vegetables for us. And she was just such a great, giving, loving mother. So today, Mother, you're not with me, but I thank you. And you were a great mother.
Awesome. Thank you, James.
Yes, I would like to thank my godly mother, which is Rhonda. she truly has been not just my pastor, but my sister and my counselor and also my best friend. She has been such an encouragement to me for all I've gone through in my life and was always there to plant seeds for me to make them grow. If it wasn't for her, I truly believe I would not be where I am today in my faith. So Rhonda, I appreciate you so much for all you've done. I am so grateful. I am so thankful. And I am so blessed that you are my godly mother. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb. Thank you. I wasn't prepared for that. Is that on?
I want to thank the Lord for a mother who cared so much for her five children that she worked in as a waitress at night in order to keep us together. And then one day my daddy came home and he helped to raise us, but you were not allowed to talk in the house. You may not make no noise, no nothing. You come home from school, shh, shh, shh. She took everything she needed to keep going, and she said, even she kept the, when something would happen to us, she kept it from Daddy because Daddy would get mad. He had a bad accident when he was younger. He had a swing hit himself over the head here, and it got gushed out and everything else. But Mama was there, and the day she died, before she died, her and Daddy walked down the aisle and accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior.
Wow.
But she couldn't believe that God could forgive her because she couldn't forgive herself for the things that she had to go through in order to live the life she lived. Mm-hmm. And I taught my mom and dad to say, "I love you." We never talked that way until after I learned that the Lord loved us. And I went to Mom and Dad one day and I said, "I love you," when I left. And they looked at one another. Nobody said, "I love you," in the house. So then, the most beautiful thing I can remember my mom was when she was laying in a casket. She was like a bride. She glowed. And I can remember that as long as I live. Mama went home like a bride.
Oh, thank you for sharing that, May. Thank you.
I'm not from this church, and I want to honor Pastor Donna as my spiritual mother. But I really want to honor my mother, Geraldine Richardson, and my grandmother, Donna Richardson. Dama was Reverend Richardson's wife, and my mother was a deacon in our church. Mm. And my daughters are not my biological daughters. They're my adopted daughters because I was never able to give birth.
Okay.
And I want to honor all the women who helped raise me. My Aunt Eunice, who was my father's sister. My Aunt Eloise, who's no longer with us, who's my father's sister. All the women, and there were a lot of them. My father had a lot of sisters and a lot of brothers. And I want to thank them for giving me the life that I gave and the people around me. And Pastor Donna for teaching me to heal and to move closer to the Lord. And all the wonderful friends that I've met because of Pastor Donna.
Wow.
And I want to thank all the women who've come into my life.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Precious. Anyone else? Yes, David.
Yes, I'd like to thank my mother and my father, actually, and I'm thinking I should apologize for not having appreciated them as much as I should have when they were here. They were both good Christian people, and my mother is the person who led me to the Lord when I was 9 years old in 1959, so thanks, Mom.
Awesome. Anyone else? Yeah, Joanne.
I had an awesome mother, and I actually got born again before she did, but she really loved God once she got born again, and she was a big giver, and she had six children, one boy and five girls, so I'm one of five girls, and she was always very kind. She never raised her voice. And her love language was acts of service. Mm. So she was busy always making she liked to sew, making clothes for the family, and making meals. And that's how she showed her love. She was always there for you, and she was very easy to talk to. Mm-hmm. And I love you, Mom. And I know you can hear me up in heaven. I already said Happy Mother's Day.
Aw, awesome.
And
precious.
If you don't hear this, Jesus will tell you.
All right. Barry.
I would like to let you all know that I am probably the richest person in this room. My earthly dad, a couple years ago, him and his brother traced back seven generations of born-again, Bible-thumping believers in my family bloodline, including preachers. Hmm. And I believe that I am living proof of my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother and her prayers. And as a child, I've learned that you can't get to heaven on your father's coattail, but I believe you can get to heaven on the grandmother's prayers coattail.
Amen.
And when my grandmother on my mom's side passed, they mentioned at the funeral service that the one time they remember Mom getting mad, the one time, and I can testify that I can remember one time my mom got upset. So I just praise God because my lineage is so wealthy and so strong.
Wow.
And I take no credit other than the fact that Jesus exposed himself to my blood family. Mm. Wow. And I'm grateful for it. And
yes, you are. Wow, awesome.
Just the other day, I was texting with my son, Nick. I am exactly who my dad was. And he is following in my footsteps. And I got a video of Isaiah, Nicholas's son. Mm-hmm. And he was in the back seat just clapping and praising God. And, he falls asleep in his bed singing, what's the song you said Rhonda would never allow played in church?
The Beacon.
The Beacon. The Beacon. The Beacon, the light.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So.
At the wedding. Yeah.
I like that song. Actually.
I just prayed. I mean, I'm just.
How old is Isaiah?
3 and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. And they
man,
go. They go fast. Witnessing in Kmart. The family. They go as a family and attack them as a family.
So. Aww, awesome! That's precious, Barry. Thank you for sharing.
Anyone else?
Is there anyone on that? Anyone else? Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you. I'd like to praise God and thank him for my mother. She was patient, kind, and loving.
Oh, yeah.
And she went through a lot of sorrow. But I know she's rejoicing this day in heaven with our Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
And I thank you, Mom.
Oh. Yes. Oh. She loves you. And she's proud of you.
I thank you. Yeah. In Jesus' name.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Wow.
Anyone else?
Yeah. Mothers are important. Vital. Vital.
So, I'd like to thank so many mothers. My mother is amazing. She is my mom, and that's my mother. She's the coolest, the funnest, the most,
Travel.
Like, she's the most adventuresome. You know, she's the grandmother and the great-grandmother that you would see, you know, catapulting out of a airplane. She just loves life, really. She loves life. She loves family. And so that's my mother. But we've been so blessed with aunts and sisters and just rich with the heart of a mother. And the one mother that I really would love to honor, and I don't think I've ever said this openly, is my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law, who is with the Lord, and she went to sleep at 44 years old and didn't wake up. And that would be the mother of my husband. And without Mommy Loretta, and there she never saw her grandchildren in the natural. But if it had not been for her, I would not have had my husband. And I would not have had the richness. When I tell you deep, like Barry just talked about, deep richness on every side, from aunts to uncles to grandmothers to great-grandmothers, it goes deep. His Nana was my Nana. But if it had not been for Loretta, who went through so much at a young age and said yes to birthing her second born, which is Ralph, my family would not be complete. I would not be complete. I know I'm complete and perfect in Christ, but we've walked this walk.
Yeah.
And I want to thank all my spiritual moms, and I have a lot. I have a lot of spiritual mothers who have just looked at me and said, I want to be your mom. And that's rich. So in this day of honoring mothers, let's honor all of those. As I'm sitting here, I'm overwhelmed with love. And the greatest mother is the love of Jesus, who's taught us in our most messed up moments when we didn't even know what love really was. We looked at what the world said was love and got that all confused. But it's Jesus who touched each of our hearts and turned it around and fixed it so that we can seed into others. And And that's what's happened in my life. That's what's happened in my mother's life. That's what's happened in every person's life that has entered into the secret place and said yes, like Rahab, mm-hmm. and by faith.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful and grateful. And let's do more.
Amen. Is there anyone else who would like to honor their mother?
No, no, but please. Oh,
just what would you say? What would you say?
I was sitting in my, I'm not a member here. I'm from Rhode Island.
We're family.
Yeah, okay.
We're family.
My mom learned how to give and appreciate. Mm. I watched my mother and father raise 10 children. I'm the last. Where they were blessed financially. Through grandparents, great-grandparents, and my lineage like yours, Barry, which was, your name is Barry, right? Yeah, the lineage, I know what it's like. I watched my parents one day, didn't know anybody, and I sat up in the bed and watched my parents, 4 o'clock in the morning for the city people, put out a table with hot coffee, donuts. In an area where there weren't any minorities. We were the only ones.
Wow.
And they never bothered us, but we were the only ones, but we came from another country.
Okay.
And she put all kind of food and stuff for them to have. It was great. So I'm used to giving to people for those who deserve to have better. And my mother said, you know, everybody's the same, regardless of where they're from, how they look. Just treat them the way that you want to be treated.
Awesome. So, beautiful. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. All right. Anyone else? Ralph?
So, I love my mother. I call her Moms with an S. I also called her Honey Bunny. And... I remember one day she heard me say Honey Bunny, and she thought I was calling someone else Honey Bunny, and she just could not handle it. I said, Mom, no, you're my only Honey Bunny. But my mom, she taught me many things, but one in particular is she told me when I was a little boy, she said, Ralph, you could be anybody you want to be when you grow up. Do you understand? I didn't know anything other than that. If you guys ever look at me and say, what's up with this guy? I mean, who, when, where, why, right? It's because of the women in my life. I'm being candid with you. This entire life experience is about the revelation of woman. I'm going to make it plain to you. But I'm going to say this. My mom, she, if I could say anything about her, she was funny. You could have a conversation with her. My best friends would come to my house when I wasn't there and just talk to my mom for counseling. They would come and play games with her, like AC Ducey or, you know, 700. She was just fun. You can approach her, and she was just the most approachable person. She was fun. And then she had a lot of, you know, things that weren't naturally, wasn't very pleasant that happened in her life. But in the midst of all that, she believed in us, and she poured everything that she had that was good into us. I mean, can't you tell? I'm being candid. So when I say that this whole life is a revelation of woman, when God said, let us make man, and then we're like, we got it dialed in, man. But then he says he made man male and female. What's up with that? Male and female? That's right. Then he said to Adam, it's not good for man to be alone. And guess what he did? He put him to sleep and pulled, right, the rib. But he didn't get the rib only. He also pulled the heart out of man. Every woman is the heart of man. You know, I grew in this life covered by a woman who nurtured me and cared for me and loved me until I could do the same for someone, for myself and then others. But today, my life is about enabling my wife to be the mother to all of our family and all that come before. If you want to get anything to grow, let my wife get involved in it. Okay? If you want anything to go, get me involved. But she will make it grow. Okay? And so ultimately, my entire life has been about receiving the love of a mother and then enabling. A little boy, I saw things weren't right with my mom. All I wanted to do was, I want to see my mom happy. And I couldn't do it because I was a little boy. But I said, Mommy, I got a gold star on my paper when I went to first grade, and she liked it. She told all her friends about it, had me run around the house with my muscles showing. And guess what? I just said, well, I'm sold in for gold stars in my paper, and that's what I did. But now that I am a man, I said, I can make my mommy happy by making my wife happy. And let me tell you, God put me in her life, even as beautiful she is, but to make her more beautiful. And so that's the point. When we understand Jesus came back from the dead and he said to Peter, number one, he says, do you love me? And then what he said was only what a mother would say, feed my sheep. When you said the love of a mother through Jesus, Tap, that's exactly what you're talking about. And so I would like to say thank you. I'm so proud of you, all of you. But Sister Lucy, God bless you. 87 years strong. I'm sitting here like I am on all of you. You know, Pastor Rhonda, we met in 2008, and, you know, she carries balloons like nobody's business. And I've known that my mom went to sleep when she was 44 and didn't wake up. I couldn't live anymore. I was never depressed, but I experienced depression for a full year. But then I realized that the love of my mother is the love of the mother. And if I can see a mother loving her child or a daughter or son loving their mother, I can look at that and I can gain strength from that. So thank you. Thank you, Mommy. Thank you, Moms. Thank you, Honey Bunny.
All right. Thank you, Ralph. Okay. Well, you know, a year ago, we had Mother's Day remotely. And, you know, as we normally do, we give flowers out to our mothers and to special women, all women in our congregation. And so last year, a few of us delivered those flowers during COVID, if you remember. Oh, I remember that. And you know what? People, we were closed in. We weren't being able to really do very much. But I remember taking a flower to someone who lives quite a distance away. And when I handed that flower, she broke down and cried. You remembered me? I want to remember all women today, all mothers. And so I would ask if you gentlemen would stand up and be willing to serve. If you could come up and please just pick out a flower here. These are little mini carnations, and give them to the women who are seated. We want to serve them. Everyone have one?
Well, I have one.
Everybody got
also,
one?
Ladies, whoever
Does
wasn't
have one? Donna's got
for
one.
The ladies that okay. were not here yesterday.
Yeah.
We have something anyone? For you. I'd like for you to raise your hands for the ladies that were not
Debbie,
here.
Debbie, you weren't here yesterday.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
So Debbie.
You got it? Okay, awesome. All right.
You got it?
Who
gave it to you?
Awesome. Thank you, Joanne.
Good job.
You're
Joanne.
On it, Joanne. Good. Yay, good. Awesome.
Okay. But we also have another lady here who gets one. Who would get one? And would get one.
Yes, two more.
Two more.
Wow. Oh, yes. Okay. All right. Or they can pick it themselves or whatever. Yeah, this is just a day to honor women, and we have amazing women in this congregation. And that includes you, those of you who are connected by the internet. We honor you, we honor every woman in this place. God has a special heart, a special place for women, and it's an important role. So, Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for these amazing women that you have, that you've highlighted in Scripture for us to see and to glean from, to see why they're there, their faith, their diligence, their commitment to you, Father God. Lord, I speak that into each woman here, Father. I thank you, Lord, for every woman that, when the sound of my voice, Father God, that loves and serves you, has faith in you, Lord, and is diligent about serving you. I thank you, Father, for blessing each one, and Father, in turn, blessing their household, and in turn, blessing our nation. Father, we just give you praise. We thank you for the love that you have for each and every one of us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.